My name is Brian Kinsey, and I'm the pastor of First Pentecostal Church in Pensacola. I'm delighted that you're listening to this message, and I hope it blesses your life. If you'd like to submit a prayer request, or if you're interested in a personal Bible study, you can call us at 850-477-1100, or send us an email at firstpent@firstpent.org. We hope you enjoy this message.
Some of the translations, and this is the reason why you need to be careful of all the modern day translations. It's because some of these translations do not include these scriptures in their translation or in their paraphrase or whatever it is because of whatever reason. But the truth of the matter is the reason they don't want it there is because if you take these scriptures and set them in the book of Acts, they all of a sudden become headings. And you can subdivide the book of Acts and put them under one of these headings. It's just a powerful directive from Jesus Christ. And if you don't understand that what the apostles did, that we do understand at the First Pentecostal Church, is that they were acting under the direct orders of Jesus Christ in everything they did. Jesus didn't send them out into the world just to see whether or not they could do it, and then later on when they died said, well, they didn't do it good enough, I think I'll change everything. Jesus didn't do that. He sent them out under direct orders to accomplish what we're going to read right now. And you can see it all in the book of Acts. I mean, you'll just see one scripture right after another come to mind if you've ever read it or if you know it, because it's encapsulated in this text. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Why did he say creature? Is he talking about birds? Is he talking about beast of the field? No. He's talking about the way the old world viewed people they didn't like. They were less than human. And some of them, in their perspective, were less than beasts. Were more like insects because of the system that existed back then. But Jesus wanted them to know, you preach the gospel to everybody. And I think everybody ought to accept their responsibility. That's not just the fivefold ministry. That's everybody in this house. If you've got the Holy Ghost, you are a witness for Jesus Christ. Turn to somebody and say, that means me. Turn to somebody else and say, that means you. It's time to get busy. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And there's your new birth beginning to form as you repent and believe and are baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Here is remission of sins. Aren't you glad that through Jesus Christ our sins can be remitted? And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. There's your deliverance right there. There's no devil that can stand before an apostolic church that's armed with this kind of truth and doctrine. If you're operating on the orders of Jesus, nothing. And they shall speak with new tongues. There's the regenerating power of the Holy Ghost. How many of you are thankful that you've got the Holy Ghost? They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing. He's not talking about doing this on purpose. He's talking about there's a lot of things you're going to face in life that's going to come against you that's not going to necessarily be the devil. Accidental, circumstantial stuff. Does anybody understand life happens? But God's given us authority over even the things that happen in life that try to attack us and stop this mission. He wants this gospel to be preached to every creature. And if you do this, it shall not hurt you. And here's another thing. Here's ministry. Now he's getting into where you start operating in your dominion and authority. Now, if you're not operating in the authority of Jesus Christ, there's one of three reasons. Number one, there's sin in your life. I know you were really excited about that. And there's sin in your life. Immorality, unforgiveness, bitterness, whatever it is. There's a lot of things that can be considered sin. That sin is hindering you from operating in your authority. Another thing is wrong thinking. You can think wrong. You cannot know who you are, not know how to operate, how to step out, how to do what God is wanting you to do. Or you fear the repercussions. Third reason is you fear the repercussions, that you won't be able to handle the repercussions of the enemy. And most people don't get involved in spiritual warfare is because they just don't want to fight the fight. They're just too lazy to fight the fight. It is a fight. I'm not going to lie to you. It's a fight. But I feel like letting the devil know I'm not quitting. And they shall recover. Now the Lord spoke this to him, and then he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God, and then they went forth. Now here's their obedience. They went forth. They preached everywhere. Everywhere. Now what does everywhere mean? It means everywhere. Where's everywhere? Everywhere. That means in the church, at Walmart, Kmart, everybody that goes to Target. No, Kmart's gone, isn't it? I'm dating myself. Dating myself. Walmart, Publix, wherever you might go, the mall, preach everywhere. The Lord working with them. The only reason why God's not working with you is you're not operating in your authority. There's the three reasons we already talked about. The Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Do you realize how powerful an apostolic church is? Now let me just put it right down on your level. Do you know how powerful you are? Am I talking to a Jesus name people? Am I talking to a Holy Ghost filled church? There's no devil in hell. There's nothing that can come against you that you can't overcome and minister to people. The word of the Lord. My text, faith forged by fire. God bless you. You may be seated. God wants a bold people. Not people who are ashamed of him. Not people who are embarrassed when he manifests his presence in the service. He doesn't want people hiding behind the four walls or their so-called holiness. Because I can't get outside these four walls because I'm going to be contaminated by the world. There's no such thing as that in the kingdom of God. One does not say, well, I'll let somebody else do it. Let Brother Art Wilson do it. No, God's calling you to do this. I believe that God wants his blood-bought, prayer-wrought, spirit-filled children to rise up with authority and stand up and be counted. How many of you want to stand up? Not necessarily physically right now. Of course, I know some of you, if I give you an excuse, you'll be standing up. But I'm just simply saying, do you want to be used in these troubled times? God doesn't need a church that only works when everything's going good. God needs a church that can work when everything's going haywire in our world. When the political upheavals of the world are turned upside down, that's when the church ought to shine like a light in the midst of the darkness. You say, it's getting dark outside. Well, it's always been dark outside. But guess who is the light? There's a lighthouse. I said, I thank God for the lighthouse that shines in this hour. Is there anybody that's still preaching the word of God? Is there anybody still believing the truth of the word of God? Jesus is the head of this church. He shed his sinless, precious blood to purchase this church. He is the life force of the church. It just makes sense to hear that when he's talking to us, we need to listen to what he's got to say. And from this passage of scripture, we see exactly what Jesus was thinking about and exactly what he died for. This is why Jesus came. He didn't come to die for a people that are complaining because it's too cold in the building. They didn't even have air conditioning back then, but he sent them out to preach it everywhere. He didn't die that his people could spin around and just say, I'm okay and you're okay. He didn't die for an emergent, convergent, or divergent philosophy. He died to give life to this thing called the church. He described us, and I know there's a lot of churches, they name their church Point, the Cross Point, Grace Point, Life Point, Turning Point. But if they're not apostolic, they've missed the point. Praise. I said, if you're not apostolic, you've missed the point. Because there's only one point that's going to get you to heaven, and that point is Jesus. And you need an old-fashioned Holy Ghost outpouring. You need to start stepping into your authority and dominion. I wished I had some oneness people in this house who knew who they were. We call Jesus alive. He's resurrected. He's alive. And because we teach and preach the resurrection of Jesus, we are different than every other religion, because we don't just believe he died on the cross. We believe that he is resurrected. That means he's still alive today. I hope I'm not offending anybody. You know, we don't worship a tomb. We don't worship a shrine. We don't need a shrine in order to be a worshiper and a true child of God. No, we've got this beautiful church and we come to church and we worship God, and there's nothing wrong with that, but I'm going to tell you, daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Acts 5:42. That means everywhere we go, in the house, in the car, on the phone. You got a phone. You talk to people all the time. Quit talking about the negative and start telling them about Jesus. I wish everybody here that has the Holy Ghost, when you talk on the phone, you ought to be talking to everybody around you. I was reading in my Bible this morning in my daily devotion, and this is what the Lord spoke to me. I tell you, we just turned this whole city upside down if everybody started telling me what Jesus has to say. I've just come to declare it right now. He is not in some borrowed tomb somewhere buried with a whole load of dirt on him. But he came out of the tomb on the third day and he is alive. And I don't just celebrate that on Easter. I celebrate that every day of my life. He rose again. I said he's alive. He ascended into the heavens. But better than that, he lives in my heart, because you come too late to tell me you can't get the Holy Ghost like the book of Acts says you can. You can get the Holy Ghost. Jesus is still pouring out the Spirit. They preach Jesus. They preach that Jesus is the answer, that Jesus can be what you need him to be. That he is the I am. The I am what? Fill in the blank. I am the water. Call him water. He's the living fountain. I am the bread. Call him bread and he's the true manna. Call him healer. I am the healer and he is your great physician. The apostles called Jesus alive. You need to, in your own spirit, come and settle the issue. Jesus is alive. When things look impossible, Jesus is the root out of dry ground. When things look bleak, Jesus is the day star that brings hope for a new day. When it looks impossible, like you cannot make it through another day, say that my Jesus is still alive, and as long as he lives, so can I. He's alive in my heart. He's in my hands. He's in my feet. He's all over me. There's a lot of things I can't do, but what I can't do, he can do. What I can't see, he can see. When I fail to find a way out, he's already got it mapped out, because he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I call Jesus alive in this service. He's not somewhere down the road. He's not somewhere up in heaven sitting on the throne. He's in this service, in this house, and he is ready to minister. I call Jesus alive in my predicament. I call him the fourth man in the midst of the fire. He's the lion tamer, the way maker, the sea crosser, the water walker, the bread maker, the health creator, the wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, and he is the Prince of Peace. I call Jesus alive. He's alive in this place. When it seems as if there is no hope for you, God is able to give you hope, and he will minister to your circumstance if you'll just give him a chance. I think we should talk about Jesus more. Talk less about your opinion and talk about him. Talk about, instead of the consequences of stem cell research, why don't you talk about Jesus lives and he can heal? Instead of talking about socioeconomic results of the unbridled capitalism that's in our world, instead of talking about that, stand up and say, Jesus lives in my heart through the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, I'm not trying to mess with you. I'm just simply saying, I think we ought to pray in his name. I think we ought to cast out the devil in his name. I think we ought to baptize in the name. I think that we ought to have a faith that's been forged in the fire, where we are not ashamed and we are not afraid of who we are, but we are a blood-bought Jesus name people. Jesus died on the cross to build this church, and we are not, I said, we do not sit on the foundation of Brother D.L. Welch or any other person's name, but upon the one true name by which heaven has called us his people. That name of Jesus. It's not the United Pentecostal Church. It's not the First Pentecostal Church. This is Jesus's church. He died for this church. Now, for some reason or another, I just believe that you need to understand, we declare his message, not our message. I am under direct orders from Jesus himself. There's no better way to do this than what Jesus instructed his apostles to do. They went out into the world, they acted it out, and even though Paul died a martyr's death, still several hundred years after he died, God toppled the Roman Empire with the power of the preaching of the cross. It was just that magnificent. And God used that message to defeat every enemy, bring down every power of darkness, and bring us into the light. The light. The light. Not the darkness. The world's in darkness, but we're in the light. Where are the people with dominion and authority? If there's a sickness in the house, Pray for it right now in the name of Jesus. And let God confirm his word with that miracle in your life. I come against every sickness in this house, every pain in your body. I take dominion over it. I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm tired of cancer taking our people. I'm tired of... I'm tired of sickness taking our people down. We've got authority. I think everybody in this place ought to say, Jesus healed. Jesus saved. There isn't a drug addict. There isn't an addiction you've got in your life that my God cannot break and overcome on your behalf and bring you into a healing and a deliverance. There is nothing. I said there is nothing that my Jesus cannot do. And I believe that it's so important that we understand that. It's very important that we recognize who Jesus is and what he's doing in this hour. And he's looking for a people whose faith has been forged by fire. I was a sinner. This is where the fire starts. I was a sinner, Brother Wilson. I was lost and undone without God. But one night, the preacher preached. One night, somebody told me I didn't have to live in my sin any longer. One night, in a revival with CR Free, and he was preaching on hell. And he scared me. Of course, I was just a kid. But he scared my mama. And he scared everybody in the house. There was nobody not praying in that place. But I cried out to God. And God heard my cry. And this is what the preacher said. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I went running to the altar, and I got a hold of the horns of the altar, and I repented of my sins, and I got baptized in Jesus' name. And I got the Holy Ghost in fire. And I began to speak with other tongues. As the Spirit of God gave me the utterance, it shook me. Oh, I said, this is the greatest thing in all the world. I didn't know that it was a bad thing. I didn't know you were just supposed to sit around and complain for the rest of your life because God didn't fix everything in one night. I was too young to know anything. I was just a kid. So I just began to study the scripture, and I found out that my Jesus is bigger and better and more powerful than anything. Can I tell you that Jesus is the rock? I said, he's the rock. And upon this rock, I will build my church. I love Simon Peter, but Simon Peter's not the rock. His revelation of who the rock is the rock. And he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that Jesus is alive in this place. I think Bible studies ought to be taught in Jesus' name. We ought to repent in Jesus' name. We ought to be filled with the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. We ought to baptize people in hospitals, homes, rest homes. Turn to somebody and say, I'm on fire right now. Hallelujah. People need to speak in tongues as they're filled with the Spirit of God. But we need apostolic people that are full of the Holy Ghost. not full of complaining, not full of unforgiveness, not full of, you can't operate in authority with that. No wonder you don't have any authority, because you can't speak nothing into anybody's life. You're afraid your enemy's going to get blessed. You can't speak nothing because you don't know where it's going to go once you say it. If I say a blessing, everybody in this house, and there's about 40 of them I don't like, I'm going to tell you, I hope every one of you get so blessed you don't even know who you are when you walk out of here. Church, we used to get so hit by the Holy Ghost that we would lay out talking in tongues for all night long. And I want to see that kind of demonstration and manifestation. Listen, we still believe for the impossible. We read of believers laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover, casting out a devil, or doing the impossible, or things that just come against us that just seem to be impossible. The realm of human ability, I know it's not within the realm of what we can do, but God can do some unimaginable things. Amen. Brother Wilson was telling us about, he didn't tell us here, but he was telling us about what happened with the third most powerful man in the UN. And he's over a particular religion. I will not tell you what kind of religion is, but you probably already know he's over all of their religion from all over the world, and he is their representative in the United Nations. And his wife was dying with stage 4 cancer. And because God healed that lady that just somehow was the sister of the person that was in his church, and he didn't have anything to do with it other than just the fact that he prayed and God healed her, and she was telling everybody about it in the UN, and they wanted to hear from him. And so she was telling her good friend who was in a wheelchair, 90 pounds, stage 4 cancer, a few days away from death. And that man that was the third most powerful in the UN, who's over all of this magnificent religion, called Art Wilson and said, I want you to come to my home. And according to the rules of their religion, nobody that's not of their religion goes into the inner sanctum of their home. But he was invited to the inner sanctum of the home. They set him down. He said, Brother Kinsey, I was scared to death. I said, that's why I was praying for you. Said, scared to death. They brought that woman out in a wheelchair. She was hooked up to everything. They was crying and screaming and carrying on over her because she was about to die. He said, I didn't feel nothing. Oh, this is what you need to get. I'm gonna be just flat honest with you. Pentecostals, we are hooked on energy and feelings. It's like you gotta have a Red Bull fix every time you come around. But that's not the power of God. You don't need an energy rush. You don't need an addict's rush. You need to realize who you are. He said, Brother Kinsey, all I did was prayed in Jesus' name. I said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I speak healing into your life. He said, I left. Nothing happened, and I left, and I forgot about it. And when I got a call from the third most powerful man in the UN, whoa, that said to me, you don't know what's happened. It was just like 2 or 3 weeks later. Said, my wife is completely healed. The doctors have released her. My. I feel that kind of heat. My God can do the impossible. And if God can do it in the UN, he can do it in Pensacola. He can do it in a one God church. He can do it in a one God Jesus name church. Is anybody hearing me right now? I think we ought to go everywhere and preach Jesus. Jesus can conquer your bitterness. Jesus can conquer your hurt. Jesus can conquer your pain. Jesus can conquer your sickness. Turn to somebody and say, Jesus is still alive. Jesus is still alive. We can do the impossible. We can go after the one who's hurting the most and know that Jesus can heal. We're not afraid of addicts, chronic sinners, because Jesus delivers. We can go to the dark corridors of depression and low self-esteem because he's the wonderful counselor. So how can we do the impossible? Because he's alive. His message is true. And we're still under his orders. And he hasn't changed them in all of these centuries. They're still the same. Go preach to every creature. Preach the one God. Preach the name of Jesus. Preach the power of the Holy Ghost. You can get the Holy Ghost right now. I think that we ought to step into the realm of the supernatural and realize that my God can do the impossible. Now here's another thing. Here's another thing that really needs to happen in our Pentecostal churches. We need to stop worshiping for ourselves. I need a touch from God. Yes, you do. Stop worshiping for yourself and worship to reach others. Well, we need a more sophisticated method. No, what we need is the real power of God to hit us like it did on the day of Pentecost. That's what we need. We need somebody who has the authority and the dominion to step up here and say, "Cancer, get out of this church in the name of Jesus. You have no authority here." And I know everybody gets caught up in the updraft and the energy of the moment, and somebody's clapping their hands and they're excited about Jesus, and that enthusiasm is very contagious, and I thank God for everybody's enthusiasm. I love to lift up Jesus. I know it'll draw all men unto him, but I also know that my enthusiasm is not enough to get me through the dark times. So when I clap my hands, I'm not clapping my hands so you'll think I'm spiritual. I'm not standing up because I want you to stand up or you to feel like I am know what I'm doing. I want to stand up and worship the Lord Jesus Christ because he is alive. He has saved me from my sins. I've been delivered. If you've been delivered from drugs, you ought to say hallelujah. If God's delivered you from tragedy, you ought to say hallelujah. You ought to praise him because of what he's done in your life. You ought to praise him because of who he is. But most of all, I want every visitor to know that Jesus died for you. And I'm preaching this message to you. And you can be saved. It's about worshiping. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Even when the enemy comes in like a flood, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to worship. I'm going to praise him. Now, just so you'll know, I cannot and will not apologize for my praise. I cannot and I will not apologize for being apostolic. I cannot and will not apologize for holiness. I'm just going to list it out. Peer pressure won't change me. Televangelist will not change me. Mega church foolishness will not change me. Y'all ready? Backslidden Pentecostals will not change me. I'm gonna keep on going. Carnal preachers will not change me. I'm gonna give it my best shot. Woo! And I will not back down, and I will not be intimidated by the spirit of this world. Church, we're going to love everybody, but we're going to preach Jesus because there's nothing better to preach than Jesus. I'm going to be like David. I'm going to dance like David danced. And if they get mad, I'm going to go ahead and dance anyway because I'm going to dance with all my might. Because you don't know what I know. You can't tell the message like I can tell it. And I can't tell it like you can tell it. Because you know what this is really all about. Because God saved you and God delivered you. I loved it when Brother John's church got a choir together and they had some kind of a competition that brought choirs from all over the America there. So they decided to take their choir in and see if they could. They didn't think they would place. They just decided to go and have fun. They didn't think they were going to place in the competition because all of those guys, man, they had all of their choreographed songs and all of their choreographed music and everything. And it was so structured and everybody was twirling around right on cue and right on key. And then them apostolic holiness people got up there. Yeah, you know where I'm going. You know where I'm headed. And they didn't sing no choreographed song. They just started, all they had was a worship song. Said, we're just going to sing like we in church. Hezekiah Walker was there sitting in the audience. Marvin Sapp was on one of the judges. And they just got to singing. I don't even know what song it was. I wouldn't remember it anyway if he'd have told me. But they just got to singing about Jesus, and the Holy Ghost fell in that place. Yeah, you're talking about it. And the whole place just went erupt. And I think they got first place. But I love what Marvin Sapp said about them. He said, "Woo, you guys are unapologetically apostolic." And that settles the issue right there. Woo! Church, you don't need to be afraid. We don't need to hang our head. We just need to be who we are. Get pure in your spirit. Get loving in your attitude. Start reaching out to everybody you can and bless them in the name of Jesus. And be. Who you are. This is what I want to do right now. It doesn't make any difference who you are. I want you, if you're sick in your body, you have a need, you need healing, I want you to stand up and lift your hand right now so we can identify who you are right now. By the authority of the Word of God and in the name of Jesus, receive ye the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises loud. The enemy has been defeated. Death couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises loud.
We hope you enjoyed this message. Please reach out to us if you have any questions. We can be found at firstpent.org. That's firstpent.org. If you're ever in Pensacola, Florida, we hope you visit us. Be blessed in Jesus' name.